Frequency Cast Special Report. Startup in progress.
Hi, this is Pete.
And this is Kelly from Frequency Cast, the UK's technology radio show.
The team here at Frequency Cast are big fans of the classic BBC radio series, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And if you've listened to our shows recently, you'll know that a stage version of the radio series is taking place in theatres across the UK. The show features most of the original radio series cast.
Hello, this is Simon Jones, aka Arthur Dent, voyaging through the galaxy, and you're listening to Frequency Cast.
Hi, I'm Geoffrey McGiven. I play Ford Prefect in the Hitchhiker's Guide radio show live. Listen to Frequency Cast, it's great.
This year, there's a change to the lineup, with musician and comedian Mitch Benn taking on one of the lead roles. We caught up with Mitch after a performance in September to find out how he got the role of being the best bang since The Big One.
Well, the Zaphod people rocks at the moment, certainly. I mean, I can do the Zaphod voice if you like, but I mean, it's
a... Oh, go on, give us a free owl.
Free owl! Yeah!
Superb. Of course, Mitch Benn, better known from Radio 4, doing the satirical comedy for The Now Show.
If it is indeed possible to be better known for Radio 4, then yes, I guess I am, yes.
And funnily enough, I was actually listening to your album last week.
Oh, really? Which one?
Steal This Song was the one I was playing.
Oh, blimey, that's one for Radio Face. That's 11 years old, that record, he says, doing the sums in his head. Yeah, Steal This Song, it was interesting because it kind of refers to a couple of bits of technology that were sort of fleetingly current and are already forgotten. Like
Minidisc, I think, was in there.
Well, actually, I recorded the whole of my first album on a mini-disc machine, because I put my first album together in the 90s, before I had, like, proper management or record deal or anything. And I just literally recorded everything I did for about 6 months on a little mini-disc machine stuffed in the ass pocket of my jeans, and then just edited the best takes together of everything. And that was my first album, The Unnecessary Mitch Benn, in 1998. So it's, I remember mini-disc quite fondly, actually, in a weird kind of way. So.
Steal This Song. Flog it at car boot sales or at record fairs, or better yet, post it on the net so everybody can download it.
Well, I have a copy of that album kicking around somewhere. You had a Christmas song on there, if I remember as well. It was one of those annoying, repetitive Christmas tunes.
I've actually done a whole Christmas album. I put it up for download every year on my site. It's up there every December. It's called Christmas, whether you like it or not, because it goes between The Now Show and for a little while I was also doing a thing on Radio 2 called It's Been a Bad Week, which is where I met Dirk, which is how we got into this. I have been doing one or the other radio show at Christmas basically every year since like the end of the 90s, so I've written quite a lot of Christmas songs over the year. So I actually put this thing together, which will be up for download again in December, called Christmas, whether you like it or not. And it's I'm quite proud of it, because it's the only Christmas album I'm aware of that consists entirely of original material. Because my only real problem with Christmas albums is that everybody tends to do the same 12 songs as everybody else, and just think, you know, I'm not sure how much the world needs another half a dozen versions of Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire every year, you know. But so anyway, I did that. That'll be up for download again. And meanwhile, I'm just doing this till the end of November. And this is great fun. Been a Hitchhiker's fan since I was like 9, and a particular fan of Zaphod, even though I kind of got the impression I wasn't supposed to be. Kind of got the impression I was always kind of meant to disapprove of Zaphod rather more actively than I did. I always found him kind of irresistible, just the sheer relentless hedonism of him, you know. He's just literally out for a good time. And there's no malice in Zaphod whatsoever. He's literally just out for a good time. And they're a great bunch of people. I mean, you know, again, I mean, I'm working with, you know, some actual childhood heroes here.
Simon Jones, Geoffrey McGiven.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Simon and Geoffrey and Susan are kind of there. They're kind of the core of the company, because they're the original radio guys. And of course, it was supposed to be Simon, Geoffrey, Susan and Mark. But Mark Wing Davey, as in proper Zaphod, is now professor of drama at New York University. So he did the last tour last year.
Doesn't want to slum it here in Southend-on-Sea, then?
I don't think he's got the choice. I think he's got to be where he's got to be. I mean, last year it was across the summer months, so he came over and basically blew his entire, you know, summer recess on doing Hitchhikers. But this year, because they're doing it across the autumn, he's got to be in New York. He's got to be, you know, he's got to be day jumping. So, and I was actually working with Dirk Maggs, whose kind of idea all this is. He's the, you know, he's written the script. He's, well, adapted the script, certainly. He's written the, he's directing it, and he plays the drums in the band and does a lot of the sound effects. He's a very hands-on guy, he's our Dirk. Anyway, I've known him for years. I was doing a thing with him in, like, February, and I said to him, so what's next? And he said, well, we're taking Hitchhikers back on the road. And I said, oh, can I come and be a guest book? Because, of course, they have rotating guest narrators. We have Miriam Margolyes tonight, as you saw. And he said, yeah, you can probably be a guest book at some point. And I said, and I really don't know why I said this, when I said this, I said, and hey, listen, if you ever can't get Mark, I pretty much base my entire personality on Zaphod Beeblebrox. And there's this weird moment, and Dirk kind of looked at me and said, you're being cute. Is that an actual suggestion? I said, well, I thought I was being cute, but you can't get Mark, can you? And they just found out, I think, that week that they were not going to be able to get Mark for this run of the tour. So, oh, blimey, you know, oh, that was a very fortuitous bit of running my mouth off. And so I said, you want to do phone calls? Let's do phone calls. Shall we do phone calls? A few phone calls later, and yeah, I'm Zaphod now, which is wonderful. It's great.
And I must say, you did it very, very well. How was the extra head?
The extra head, I mean, I don't want to give too much away about how we do the extra head. You know, we do the extra, I mean, I think I'm doing the extra head more than they did last tour. I think they kind of had the extra head just for a couple of extra head gags. It became apparent that we were using the extra head for almost all the show, so I kind of said, well, we kind of need to have it there the whole time now, otherwise people are going to wonder what's happened when I don't come on with the extra head. It's, you know, it becomes a statement. So there's only one point when it goes away, and it's actually weirdly symbolic because it's the one moment at which Zaphod isn't sure of himself. The extra head has always been like a sort of a physical manifestation of Zaphod's ego, and there is one moment in this show where Zaphod is actually not entirely sure of himself, and that's the moment when the second head goes away. So, you know, there you go, there's something metatextual going on as well as just the sheer practicality of two people not fitting into a box. But yeah, so the, how we do the extra, and we also do the extra arm very occasionally,
and that got a very big laugh tonight.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, the extra arm really works, even despite the fact that it's way too small and dainty to possibly be part of me. I think they're quite elegant solutions, actually. And you know, one of the great things about it, I think this show has really cracked how you do Hitchhikers as a live thing. Because there have been sort of proper stage adaptations with varying degrees of success in the 80s and 90s. There were sort of attempts to do it as a stage play. This is not really a stage play, although there are elements of stage play in it. It's a live show, you know, and it's got elements of radio recording, elements of panto, elements of Pink Floyd concert, elements of, you know. It's just basically turning Hitchhikers into a live show, which is something which it's kind of always deserved to be. And I think Dirk has very much cracked how you do Hitchhikers in front of an audience. And the audience tonight were great, actually. They were a very, very lively crowd. I get the impression we had the faithful in, certainly.
And a couple of dressing gowns in the audience, which is always a good sign. A
lot of dressing gowns, a lot of towels, a lot of fish. Yeah, yeah, and lots of appearances of the number 42 on various items of clothing. So, yeah, we always know that the home crowd are in when we see that. So. And what's been particularly gratifying for me, actually, is I was, you know, I wouldn't have been at all surprised, put it this way. I was actually pleasantly surprised when the PR for the show started. It actually kind of made a feature of the fact that I'm in it this time around. Because I wouldn't have been at all surprised, or indeed the least bit offended, if they'd been a slightly apologetic about the fact that it's me. Because part of this show's USP, certainly in the first run, was it's the original radio cast. And this time I'd have been, it's the original radio cast, except we couldn't get Zaphod. It's this guy instead, sorry. You know, I wouldn't have been at all surprised if they'd been a bit apologetic about that. But they actually seem, you know, quite keen to promote it, and certainly the response from the fan base to the announcement that it was me was very positive, and that was hugely encouraging. But I think I'm kind of regarded as legit in Hitchhiker terms, because they haven't just sort of parachuted somebody in. I'm a Radio 4 guy, I'm a comedy guy, I'm a sci-fi guy. I've got my own science fiction novel out now, Terror, which people keep mentioning Douglas in the reviews of, which is ludicrously flattering. But so, you know, I think the connection is there. So I think it's more of, and I was in the radio series, the last series of the radio series, incredibly briefly. When Dirk adapted the last couple of books to the radio, I was in the last one, just literally had like one scene with Simon. So I think I'm regarded as proper.
Excellent. Well, you did incredibly well. Zaphod Mark II, as you should be known, you really fitted into part well, and superb job.
We're not even talking about Sam Rockwell anymore. Has that been purged from the canon?
Oh, no contrast, no contrast.
I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell's, though. Moon's an amazing movie, but, you know. I'm weird about the film, though, the Hitchhikers film, because one of the things, again, which is great about the show, is it's yet another version of Hitchhikers. And some people are like, oh, but they've kind of changed it all up and moved it around. Yeah, it's kind of what you're supposed to do with Hitchhikers. It's this never-ending remix, which Douglas, I mean, we play a sound clip from Douglas at the beginning of the show where he actually says that, you know, when I write the movie version, it's going to be completely different to the TV and the radio, which is very important. And the interviewer says, isn't that going to annoy the fans? And Douglas says, well, that's important, too. And it, you know, And it's true that, you know, a lot of elements of people, you know, particularly in the first half, I think people know most of the elements, but they might come at you in a slightly different order. You know, for example, this starts with a scene which in most iterations of the guide doesn't turn up until about episode 4. And also, for anybody who saw last year's run, the fact that it's me instead of Mark is not the only difference. Part 2 is almost completely different.
The bath scene, yes, indeed.
Exactly, the Golga Fringe and Biark is in there, the Total Perspective Vortex is in there, which I love because that's actually the scene at which I kind of fell in love with Zaphod, was listening to that on the radio. The idea of being exposed to the vastness of the universe just making you feel better about yourself, I think is a wonderful idea. So yeah, and that's plenty for me to, and I also get a little thing to do which I won't spoil it, but I think it's very much been added in since they found out it was going to be me. So, you know, no, I'm having a great time, and it's good that I'm having a great time, because this is a hell of a bloody tour, right? We're on till at the end of November.
Are you going to be all right with all those cupcakes you've got to eat?
Basically, I have to eat a fairy cake every day, but there are some days when that's kind of all I do eat. So there you go. But yeah, I managed to do the jacket up today, so hopefully the jacket's actually going to be quite swirly on me by the end of the tour, so there you go.
Excellent. Mitch, well, thank you very much. I think you deserve a well-deserved pangalactic gargle blaster. One final free owl from you.
Free owl!
Thanks very much to Mitch Benn for taking the time to talk to us. The show runs until the 30th of November 2013, and you can find out more and book tickets at www.hitchhikerslive.com. You can find out more about what Mitch Benn is up to and more about his new sci-fi novel Terror over at www.mitchbenn.com. Well, that's all for us. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out our free regular technology podcast, where you'll hear features, interviews, and gadget news. We're at www.frequencycast.co.uk. Until next time, share and enjoy.
Frequency Cast. Special report. Shutdown complete.